the next sheet and got right down here to the very last part. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and he shall be my son. As I've said so many times, the book of Revelation was written to churches. Can lost people be saved by preaching? You better believe they can. But this book was written to churches. When it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, it means all of them. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's talking about a warm, close, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, where you put him first in your life. Now, after you've decided, I want him to be first in my life, the only way you can ever be sure that you're putting him first in your life is to put your values, your attitude, all that you are, in what he defines to you as being pleasing to him. Now, it's absolutely, definitely stated, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So this verse that you're looking at on the screen is really God saying to a saved person, are you going to overcome? Are you going to let my spirit dominate your spirit and your life? Are you going to let me have my way in your life and in your heart? Are you going to follow your own path? Thank the Lord that we don't have to follow him to be saved. We can't follow him until after we're saved. And though this may not sound right, thank the Lord that we don't have to follow him to stay saved. But I do thank the Lord that he has made it possible for us to know what he wants from us. And what he wants from us is service. Now, I'm going to talk about a parable tonight. I've talked to you before about it. But tonight I'm going to put it in a plain terminology that everybody can understand. When my grandmother was growing old, Grandmother Drenna, we just felt so sorry for her. And she would fight to get up out of that chair, and she would fight to walk around with that cane. And we felt so sorry for her. And we literally conned her into letting us have a wheelchair where we could push her around. Well, pretty soon, because she didn't use it, she lost it. When you stop using your body, you stop having any sort of physical exercise, and you just sit down, and you just say, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, and I'm just going to have a good old time with my dietary tract, and I'm going to let my muscles just waste away to nothing, but I'm going to be happy eating and doing nothing. Pretty soon you'll discover that no matter how hard you try, your body has lost a lot of the potential to be able to do anything. And it goes back to an old medical saying, which is true. If you don't use it, you lose it. Now, this message tonight is directed toward God's servants. I'm one of God's servants. If you're saved, you're his child, and you're one of his servants. But this is a message to servants. So I stopped right here this morning. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And I ask a very pointed question. How much of the all that he has do you want? We're not talking about going to heaven here at all. We're talking about when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We're talking about when you're on this present earth for 1,000 years in a glorified body as his child. What's your life going to be like? Well, you're going to be in a glorified body, so you're going to be happy. You're not going to have a sinful nature anymore. You're not going to sin anymore. And it's going to be quite wonderful for anybody that's there. But God's servants who overcome, serving Him now, will be positioned close to Him in heaven and will be privileged to be servants to Him as they reign with Him. You alone make this choice and this decision. It was you alone that decided to come to Christ. It was you alone that realized you needed a Savior. It was you alone that came to Him. It was you alone that asked Him to save you. And it was a personal decision that you made in a reaction to the Holy Spirit of God, who convicted you of your condition and led you to Christ. But you made the choice. We're going to take a look at a parable. And it's for a servant. This is not a very good servant. Matter of fact, it's about the worst kind of servant that you can ever possibly imagine. Parables usually make a single point. The single point of this parable is very simple. Use it or lose it. Now, as I have constantly repeated, and I know you get tired of hearing it, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to get a glorified body. If you're saved, you're going to be there forever. And it'll be great. But what are you going to do in heaven? And if you say, well, I don't care about that, that's my whole point. You should care about it. The single point of this parable is very simple. Use it or lose it. Matthew 25, 14 through 29. And this is one single point. And it's the only point this parable makes. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. When I was born, formed in my mother's womb, through environmental circumstances that followed, and through the chromosomal structure that was passed on to me from my mother and father, and through the environment I grew up in, I have certain abilities. Other people have the same abilities I have, but some of them don't have the abilities I have in the particular area I have. Other people in this church have abilities in areas that I have no ability in. And each one of you has a particular talent, a particular ability. Now, when you got saved, you became a servant of God, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. Maybe one of them can sing. Maybe they have singing ability. Maybe they have the type of personality that's exhortive. They could sell a Eskimo Cadillac for the North Pole. They just have a natural exhortive ability. Great used car salesman. Other people, God gave minds that are analytical, that he can use that ability that they have in his service. Some people, God may have given as many as 5 different abilities that he wants to use in a church. To another 2. This parable teaches a principle. Use it or lose it. But it also teaches, as subsidiary to that single meaning, that it isn't how much ability you have that's going to determine your reward. It's how well you use what you do have. And in a way, If you only have one talent, just one, one ability, God given, and you're his servant, and you use that one ability, I think this parable teaches you'll receive as great a reward as the one who had five. And unto one he gave five abilities, talents, God given. To another two, God given. To another one. All three of these people were given God given abilities. To every man according to his several ability. God has proportioned to us the amount of faith and grace and the amount of ability by his Spirit. We are held accountable to use what we have been given. Quite frankly, a man that only has one talent, or a woman, if they'll use that, they're going to be just as blessed and just as great in God's sight, even though he's no respecter of persons, as if one had used all five and one had only used the one that he had, and straightway took his journey. The Lord Jesus said, and what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing. Well, this king left. Matter of fact, Jesus as the king was rejected and his kingdom was rejected, but he left here a local New Testament church that he had organized, and it was in Jerusalem. Then he that had received five talents went and traded with the same and made them five other talents. It means that he used what he was given to produce everything that it was supposed to produce. He had five God-given talents. He used all of those five given talents for what they were supposed to accomplish. And so he made five other talents, five things that were commensurate with the five talents he had. It means he used them to the fullest. Now this is money, actually, talents, but this is a parable, and it's used to teach one simple point. Use it or lose it. And if you don't use what God gives you, and you don't use it to the fullest, in his church, you're making a serious mistake. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. Well, it certainly looks like it's the fellow that used all five talents would all be in better shape than the one that just had two. As far as what he was going to do in the millennium, how much responsibility he was going to give. That's what it would seem like in today's society. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. A lot of people don't believe it, but this man is one of God's servants. And he gave him one ability. All he had to do was use it. But he wouldn't even use one. And nobody ever got to see in public, publicly, what God meant to use this man for in his life, because he would not use it in God's service. He hid it and would not use it. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh. Well, this morning I preached about the first advent, when Christ came as a manger and a lamb in Bethlehem, and how he's coming back as the Lion of Judah at the second advent. And when he comes back, there's going to be an accounting of his servants. I'm not talking about heaven and hell here. I'm talking about God's children being judged by Jesus Christ and being judged by whether they used it or didn't use what he gave them as God-given ability. So he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents. That means he used them to the fullest. He used all five, and all five produced because he used them. Notice very carefully the words of Christ, of the Lord. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord." If you believe what you say you believe, and you believe you're a child of God, and you believe he saves your soul, and you believe you're going to heaven, then, that being the case, the Bible clearly teaches you'll be on this present earth for 1,000 years in a glorified body. It clearly teaches you'll be in heaven in a glorified body. So the question is, how much joy do you want in heaven? How much authority do you want in heaven? You say, "Well, I want to be the big dog." No. That's talking about doing what Christ directs you to do in heaven and ruling over those on a millennial earth that do not. And it's talking about being given a job, a responsibility to work for Christ. This is going to be for 1,000 years on this earth. And then forever after that in the final heaven age. We live here a brief period of time. I won't live another 20 years. I know that. I may not live another minute because I've reached that 70, past it. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." Now, in the business world of today, in the secular world of today, in the commerce world of today, in the big business world of today, it would be very apparent that this man that produced 5 things would get a much better job and more responsibility in heaven than this guy that only produced 2. But remember what he said? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Look at his words. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord." What's the point? It's not how talented you are. It's not how many God-given abilities you have. It's how well you use what you have in God's service by submitting to his will and using what you do have to serve him. And we're all different. All the members of a body have different abilities, different God-given abilities. Some have more than others. But God rewards us based on how well we use what we have, not how many talents we have. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man." He had the wrong idea about the Lord all the time. He got mad at the Lord all the time. He thought he was a hard man. Now, the Lord didn't say he was a hard man, but this man said he thought he was. "Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed." And this man believed that. But the Bible doesn't say the man was right. It just tells you what this man thought. "And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, here it is, Lord. Lo, there thou hast, that is mine." He said, "I'm giving you back just exactly what you gave me." That's a saved man. He still has the same God-given gift, but he didn't use it. He said, "Now, Lord, you can have it back." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Still called him a servant. You say, God doesn't have wicked servants. Baloney. God's got a lot of wicked servants. You say, well, no man that's wicked is one of God's children. That's just a colloquialism you made up on your own. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. He said, I'm not agreeing with you. He said, but you just told me that. He said, that's what you just told me. Then he tells him something that completely destroys everything the man had just said about justifying his hiding it. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. You know how they exchanged money at that time? They didn't have banks. There would be a place in the marketplace, and all the people that had money to lend would get down around these big tables, and they would have their money out on the table. And might be several sitting around a table. There might be several tables. Some man would come in, and they'd ask him for collateral and different things, just like a regular bank does. And he'd make them a promise, swear an oath that he'd pay them back. And he would barter with them. He'd go to different ones until he could get the best rate. And everybody in town saw what he got, saw what he had, and saw who gave it to him. Jesus said, you didn't even publicly go out and show what I had done for you. You didn't even go out and publicly confess and acknowledge that I had given you anything. And he said, you just kept it all to yourself. He said, you really were afraid of them more than you were of me, and you were ashamed of me. He says, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. He gave it to the one that had the 10 talents. Why? We'll get to that later. But remember, this parable has one central point. Use it or lose it. Now let me tell you why I'm doing this. It's not because I want you to think this is a clever message, old smarty Brother McElmurray thought of. This is personal from God to me. And it's personal from God to every one of you if you know Christ as your Savior. But if you do not know him as a Savior, then you cannot serve him. You cannot be a servant to someone to whom you do not belong. So tonight, if you want to be saved, I guarantee you that if you'll repent of what you are and put your faith in Jesus Christ and call on him to save you, he'll save you. But this is to all of us who are saved. It's to me personally. I'm not just preaching at you. I have to contend with this every day of my life. For unto everyone that hath shall be given. All right, the first man had 5 God-given abilities. And he multiplied it by 5. And he was given. What was he given? Use it or lose it. What was he given? The opportunity, the ability, the choice to serve God. The ability, the choice to work for God in this life. And he'll be given more and more in abundance of the ability to serve Christ in his immediate presence in the millennial reign. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. A lot of people like to think of somebody sitting in heaven on a big stack of money singing, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And just sitting up there picking and singing all of their lives, praising God. That's not what God has in mind. Oh, sure, we'll praise God. We'll sing praises to God. We'll do all that. But everyone that has served God here and used that God-given ability, they're going to be given an equal proportion of opportunity and ability to serve him in great abundance in heaven. And that's the reward. That is the reward. All this life will be behind you. All you're looking for a cute boyfriend, all you're looking for a cute girlfriend, All you're looking for success and achievement and all the other things the world has to offer, that'll all be behind you. And your joy in heaven will be directly proportional to how much the Lord gives for you to do in heaven. And if you don't use what he gave you here, you're going to lose it there. Not your salvation, but your ability and opportunity and the degree of your service to Jesus Christ will be less the less you serve him here. But from that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Well, what did this man have? He had the God-given ability to serve God. Did God take away his salvation? No. What did he take away? His God-given ability to serve him. You say, well, what's going to happen to this man? He's going to be on this earth in a glorified body. He's going to be happy. He's not going to hell. He's not going down to some dark purgatory. He's going to be happy. But not nearly as happy as somebody who served God and God works his glorified tail off in heaven, and the guy never gets tired or the woman never gets tired. She has the abundant strength of God, and God uses them to perform all kinds of tasks and work and spiritual jobs that he has for them forever. And their joy will be great. Their wonderment will be great. And it lasts forever. And yet people sell out down here for a handful of dirt. Everyone that hath used his God-given ability to serve him will be given abundant ability to serve him in his thousand-year reign and his New Jerusalem age. There's another servant in the Bible that's bound hand and foot because he doesn't have on a wedding garment. And the wedding garment is a symbol of the robe and the wedding garment that's given to those who are faithful to Christ. And he's not thrown out of there into hell. The binding indicates he doesn't have the ability to serve God anymore. That's in Matthew 20:13, I think. To serve him in the thousand-year reign and in his New Jerusalem age. Everyone that hath not used his God-given ability to serve him will not be given the ability to serve him in his thousand-year reign or in his New Jerusalem age. Forever. Forever. In a glorified body. In heaven, with no sin and nothing to do. Well, the joy will always be for you that you didn't go to hell. But I'd much rather be given something to do. And it's going to depend on how much I use what God gave me here. The ability to serve him will be taken away and added to the abundance of servant opportunities of those who use their ability to serve him in this present life. So when I ask you and show you and teach you from God's word the importance of being baptized after you're saved, and then after you're baptized and become a member of one of the Lord's churches in serving him, when I show you these things, I have no other motivation than the welfare that God placed in my heart in the awareness of the importance of serving him in this present life. You're going to get to serve him in heaven about as much as you served him here. And you can't serve him here your way. It has to be God's way. And God's way is to, after salvation, follow him in scriptural baptism. And after scriptural baptism, to do the best that you can. To use what you can in service in one of God's local New Testament churches. God gave the first and second man the same reward, even though the first man had five more God-given abilities than the second. Not five more, but he had three more. One was given five, one was given two, but they both had the same reward. He gave the third man's ability that he took away from him to the first man because it is harder to use five abilities than two. Saved people who don't serve him now won't have the same opportunity to do so in heaven. I think the Bible is very clear. In our churches, Missionary Baptist churches, we have heartily emphasized salvation by grace.
We preach it constantly,
and so do I.
And we have constantly stressed security of the believer, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you,
and so do I.
Those are the two main messages I preach. But in many of our churches, because people don't like the scripture that says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." They don't like to think of a judgment seat of Christ where there's any weeping, where there's any sadness. They like to think of the judgment seat of Christ where everybody there is ecstatically happy and no problem because they didn't live for Christ. That's all behind them. And I've heard missionary Baptist preachers say, "That's all behind them and it'll never bother them." That's a lie. At the judgment seat of Christ, it will bother you. And what's going to bother you is the fact that God gives all of us God-given abilities. He gives some more than others. And God holds you accountable after you're saved to use them. Because that's going to be what he uses to judge what kind of a reward he gives you in heaven. The greatest reward that a man or woman can receive in heaven is to constantly be on assignments for the Lord Jesus Christ, being used of him in all of his kingdom, and being close to him, personal, warm, close, intimate, personal relationship with him in heaven. You're going to have about as close and personal a relationship with Christ in heaven as you developed with him here after you were saved in one of his churches. I hope you'll think about that. I hope we'll all think about it. Because pretty soon, he's coming. And I don't know how much time you've got left to serve him, how much time I've got. But we need to make the best use of the time that we can while we're still here.